Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Daily Devotion number 12. It's great to be together again this afternoon to sit and open up our word, maybe drink your cup of coffee, eat your donuts, if it's anything like the picture. I don't have donuts. I wish I had donuts. Donuts are amazing. But either way, it's good to be together. To turn back to the book of James, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're working our way through James and enjoying beginning to open that up and see what God has to say there. Just before we do that, we'll come and have a time of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word, which invigorates our souls, which turns our minds towards heavenly things. And we pray this afternoon, Lord, that as we open up your word, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would feed us, and that you would help us to see your glory more. Lord, thank you for these unique times which bring along unique opportunities like opening up your word on a daily basis like this. Watch us, watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you want to open up your Bibles like normal, we're going to be turning to the book of James. Apparently I forgot to update that, so you're just going to have to open up your Bibles yourself, and if you don't have a Bible with you, get it on your phone. If you don't have one on your phone yet, you can download one for free. They're pretty easy to get, ESV app. Otherwise, listen along as we read through James chapter 1. We're looking at verse 16 and 18. 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, or his own will, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So far, God's word. Well, we saw yesterday that James was kind of dealing with objections that were coming up, or that he thought might come up. Like a good teacher, he's preemptively addressing the questions that he thinks his readers might bring up. And yesterday we saw that he was concerned that the readers might be tempted to blame their temptations and their failures upon God. As trials come, particular temptations come out of those trials. And so we thought, well, maybe people might blame God for those temptations because he could have said something. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. So therefore, it's God's fault. Well, James, in a sense, moves on to another objection at this point. So firstly, that idea of temptation. But I think there's probably a more common objection that would come up, and that would be that if God is bringing trials into our life, think coronavirus or maybe the loss of a job or something else, if God is bringing these things into our life, then that means God is giving us bad things. You might think, well, it's a kind of fair conclusion to make, isn't it? Because we perceive coronavirus to be bad and God's in control, therefore God's brought a bad gift to us. And James is very concerned that his readers might make that conclusion. And so he says to them in verse 16, do not be deceived. Very important, readers. In fact, he doesn't just call them readers, does he? He says, my beloved brothers. He sees this of utmost importance. He's not writing to strangers. He's writing to people he loves. He's saying, do not be deceived. This is vitally important that you understand this, that you come to terms with this. And what is it? It's that God doesn't give bad gifts. God gives good gifts, good gifts, doesn't he? He says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James says that we shouldn't be deceived because, in a sense, God can't give bad gifts. You know, we really struggle with this because we as fallen humans, we're known to give good gifts. We're also known to give bad gifts, aren't we? And I don't think we're thinking primarily about presents, but just the way we deal with other people. You can deliver a word to a person when you speak to them, and as you speak to them, you tear them down or you build them up. One is a good gift, the other is a bad gift. Well, James wants to point out that that's not the case with God. And he gives a couple of reasons why. He says that God gives good and perfect gifts, and that we shouldn't be deceived. Nothing else can happen except for good and perfect gifts, because God doesn't change. And so he's arguing that because God is what we call immutable, meaning he can't change, he can't give bad gifts because God is good. God is loving. And a good and loving Father, notice the word he uses, he doesn't say God, but he says the Father of lights, can only give good gifts to his children. And then he gives a beautiful example of this. Have a look at verse 18. So in 17, he says, everything that good comes from the Father. He says, there's no change in the Father, so we're only going to get good from him. And then he gives this example in verse 18. He says, of his own will, of the Father's own will, meaning he chose to do it. You didn't choose it. I didn't choose it. No one else chose it, but the Father, of his own decision and will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. What does he mean by brought us forth? He's talking about effectively giving birth. He has given birth to us by the word of the truth. He's talking about regeneration, isn't he? He's talking about the very thing that Jesus spoke about to Nicodemus, that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so he's saying, you want to understand good gifts? Consider the fact that you believe in God. Consider the fact that by the word of truth, by the preaching of the gospel, by the word of God, he has brought you forth. But what has he brought you forth to? He has brought you forth to be a kind of first fruit. Now you think about first fruits in the Old Testament. If you've been there and read that, you'll remember that the first fruits were the offering brought to God. So you'd have a harvest and you'd take some of the best part of the first of the gathering in. Was always the best part of your gathering, of your harvesting. And you would bring that to God as a gift to him to thank him for the harvest that he had given you. And so what James is saying is that what God has done, here's a good gift for you. Here's an example of a father who gives good gifts. Not only has he come to you who deserved nothing and out of his free, absolutely sovereign will, given birth to you as a new creature, but he's also made you to be a beautiful gift offering to himself of the harvest, whereby you might stand out from all of the rest of creation. I mean, talk about an amazing gift, isn't it? And so James uses this to highlight that this is the type of father you have. How could you dare guess or assume or come to the conclusion that this father is giving you bad gifts when this is what he's given you? He's given you eternal life. He's given you faith. He's given you hope. How could you ever think he was doing anything else than that? But you object and you say, well, wait a second, Logan, because what's going on right now doesn't feel like a good gift. How can you tell me that isolation and coronavirus is a good gift? It's not good. There's nothing good about this. There's nothing good about my business problems or my family issues. How can you say these things are good? Well, the problem is we have limited perspective, don't we? We can only see and understand what's directly before us. We're not God. You see, God, the Westminster Confession of Faith tells us, God knows the end of every possible situation that could ever play out. God, in his omniscience, has planned everything perfectly. And so from our perspective, we look at this and we go, there's no way this can be a good gift. But from God's perspective, it's a completely different story. And this is the point of Romans 8, isn't it? That God only does good for you? That he works all things for the good of those who love him? The coronavirus doesn't feel very good, does it? But you know, there's a stunning example of why we know this to be true. And that example is Jesus Christ himself. You just think about the life of Jesus for a second. He starts early on in his ministry and saying to his disciples and to the crowds that if you need anything, you can ask your Father in heaven. Why? Because your Father will give good gifts. You remember the words? You remember how it goes? It says, if your child comes to you and asks for fish, do you give him a snake? They go, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. Well, if he asked for bread, would you give him a stone? No, of course I'm never going to do that. That would be outrageous. And James says, well, if you being a wicked father, in other words, a non-perfect father, give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven who is perfect will give you good gifts? But now hear Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take the cup away. God, Father, if it's possible, take the cup away. And now, Al, if you're in that moment, what's good in your perspective in that moment? Not Jesus, I mean, your interpretation, if you were in the garden, what would be the good gift? It would be to say, okay, I'll take the cup away. You don't worry about it. But our Father only gives good gifts. And then what do we see? We see Jesus upon a cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You think, how is this good gifts? I mean, you say the Father always gives good gifts. How are these good gifts? How does any of this make sense? Well, we have to put things in the perspective of eternity, don't we? What's the perspective of eternity for Jesus Christ? Well, Ephesians tells us, and I've written it down here. Ephesians 1 says this. He raised him, being Jesus, he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. See, for Jesus Christ, it was for his good. Because he ends up as the first brother of a host of many captives. And you see, we've got such limited perspective that we look at this situation and we say, this is not for my good. And we're tempted to say, God doesn't give good gifts because he's brought this into my life. But let me encourage you today to remember that though you may not know why this is happening to your life, you cannot doubt God's goodness to you. Well, maybe cannot is the wrong word. You should not doubt God's goodness to you, because God promises in his word that he only gives good gifts. And though you may not understand now, though you may not understand in this life, yet God assures you that it's for your good. And there will come a day in eternity where you will understand it was for your good. It's like I heard Sinclair Ferguson say once on a sermon online. He said, I think when we get to eternity, one reason it will never get boring is because we'll spend our time looking at one another and going, oh, that's what God was doing. And can you imagine in 5,000 years' time, as we sit in glory, bumping into someone and hearing their story and discovering that coronavirus was the thing that led them to becoming a believer. And you'll go, wow, that's what God was doing. What a good father we've got. He always gives good gifts to his children, doesn't he? What a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We thank you that you do give good gifts, and we do pray that you would make your name very holy. Father, we pray that you would help us to trust you. Very often we don't, and we acknowledge that, and we pray that you'd forgive us. Give us hearts that would trust you, and help us not to doubt that you give us good things. That though we face many trials, many difficulties, yet you only bring us good things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us again today. Just a quick reminder that tomorrow is Friday, unless I'm remembering wrong and my calendar's out of whack. Yes, tomorrow is Friday. Tomorrow is Good Friday, and we're going to be having a Good Friday service here, same place, 10 o'clock. I'd encourage you to come and join us. Otherwise, if you've got something to do tomorrow morning for your own church, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow afternoon once again at 3:30 for daily devotion number 13. The Lord's richest blessings to you all. Goodbye.
Where we